to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Come to the last chapter of the book of Proverbs. Been going through Proverbs for a little over a year. I believe this is message number 50 out of Proverbs. Might be one or two more after this one. This is a very famous or well-known chapter in the Bible. It's the chapter about the virtuous woman. And it starts out with the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So these are the words of the mother of King Lemuel. The title of the message is Giving It All Away. Giving It All Away. I don't know about you in your life. I'm sure there's some things that you ought to maybe give away, get rid of. Things that are hindering your walk with God, things that are hindering your spiritual walk with God, things that you just need to get rid of and give away. So, nobody knows exactly who King Lemuel is. Some have speculated that it's Solomon. And if that's so, well then, the woman speaking would be Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the mother of Solomon. But nobody knows that for sure, so we can just kind of stick that in the back of our hat there and remember that. But she gives a prophecy here. And she's talking to her son, and her son is a king. That's very important. Here's a king over the nation, I'm assuming the nation of Israel, we don't know that, but he's going to stop from his busy day, and he's going to listen to the words of his mother. We don't know how long he's been reigning, how old he is, if he's 40, 50, 30, 20, we don't know. But she sees some things in his life that needed to be shaped up. So we should always listen to our parents, listen to our mother and our father. But I see three things in this portion of Scripture. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9. Some things that we need to give away. I'll read the text. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. My son, and what? The son of my womb, and what? The son of my vows. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to drink strong drink. Lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you have given to us. Lord, we come to you when we have no strength, no sufficiency of our own. We are not self-made. We come to you and put ourselves at your mercy. We need something from you. We can't understand the words of Scripture without your Holy Spirit. We cannot be righteous without your Son, Jesus, and without salvation. So we come to you and ask you, dear God, to speak to us and help us and let us know what you want us to do and how to follow you in the right way, Lord, because we are sinners. We are in need of your help, Lord. Thank you for this time that you've given to us to look into your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving it all away. Some things in life we should be willing to let go of. Some things in life we just need to get rid of. When I was growing up, or maybe I guess Back in the early 90s, I had a 1987 Mazda RX-7. I don't know, I may have told you guys about this before, but I'll tell you again. I had a 1987 Mazda RX-7. It was a 5-speed, 2-seater. It was a pretty sharp car. It had the headlights that flipped up like that, and then they'd go back down, you know, pretty cool car. Everybody wanted a Mazda RX-7. It had a rotary engine in it. I don't remember if it was four, well, I won't even say that. Boy, it was a black one. Anybody wanted a black RX-7? I had one. And I was driving it down the street, early 90s, something like that, and a guy passed me, and he whipped back around and made a U-turn and followed me to my house, and he got out of the car, out of his car. He came and talked to me, and he said, "Hey, I see you got that car there. Man, I'd like to have that. And I've got something I'd like to trade you for it." He said, "I've got a 1978 Ford LTD, and man, it's in good condition, low mileage. I'd like to trade you straight across." Well, I had just had a Paige. Paige was just a newborn, and I had a 2-seater car. Well, a Mazda RX-7 is not really practical for a car seat. Can't put a car seat in the back there, not safely anyway. And I didn't want my wife to have to carry Paige around in her lap while we drove it everywhere. And besides that, my wife didn't know how to drive a stick shift. I tried to teach her how to drive that thing, but she didn't want to have anything to do with the stick shift. She said, "Why do they even make these anyway? What is the point?" She doesn't understand the point of a stick shift. So I said, "Well, you know, I think I'll do that. I'll trade you." So he brought over his 1978 Ford LTD, traded him straight across. He got the RX-7, and man, that thing was ugly. Look up a Ford LTD. It had a 351 Windsor engine, ran great, but that thing was ugly. It hit every branch on the ugly tree on the way down as it fell. Had a big old rust spot in the fender. My wife came out of the door and looked at that thing and said, "What did you do? Are you serious? You got rid of your RX-7 and you got that thing? Oh my goodness." She said, "I am not driving that. I can't believe that you did that. I can't believe." You know what she did? She left that thing in the driveway for I don't know how long. She didn't want to drive that. You know what the point is? I got rid of that RX-7 because I didn't need it. I kind of gave it away. I got rid of it. It wasn't doing me any good. I mean, it got me back and forth to work, but I'm not going to be able to carry my family around in that. You know what happened to that Ford LTD? We moved off to Lubbock, and I ended up giving that thing away. I gave it to a guy on payments. He gave me 2 payments, and I never saw him again. Don't give a car to somebody on payments. That's just my opinion, my 2 cents worth. I used to have a 2008 Harley Davidson Dyna Wide Glide. Bought it brand new off the showroom floor. Loved that thing. Used to polish it up and ride that thing every once in a while. But after a while, I thought, man, I don't have time for this thing anymore. I got to get rid of this. I don't have time for it. It's just a toy anyway. I can't carry my family around in that thing. I've got to get rid of it. I believe Bathsheba, if this is the one who is speaking, she's looking at her son Solomon, if that's indeed Solomon, and she's saying, "Solomon, you're getting wrapped up in things that you don't need to get wrapped up in, and it's going to destroy you." She said, "Don't give your strength to women. Don't give your strength to something that will destroy you, Solomon. Don't give your strength to drinking." Now, what is his strength? Well, the strength for the king would be making right decisions, discernment, making good judgments, wisdom. That's his strength. That's his strength. Now, she is highly concerned, and we can hear it in her words when she starts speaking. She says, "Son, son, son," 3 times. You can hear it in her voice, distress. She's saying, "Look, son, don't do that. Don't go that way. Don't give away your strength." She's starting to see Solomon or whoever it is stray from God, and she's giving him a warning about what she sees. He's giving away his wisdom to things that will destroy him. You know, young people, maybe you're brought up with a godly heritage. Maybe you have some wisdom from the Lord. It doesn't matter whether you're young people or not. Old people, you have the Holy Spirit of God. You have wisdom from God. The Bible says that we cannot understand the words of God without the Holy Spirit. And we get wisdom from Him. Don't give away your strength and the things that God has given you to things that will destroy you and will not benefit you. The Lord gives wisdom to those who ask. It says in Proverbs 2:6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." That's where we get it from. We get wisdom from God. So we start off Proverbs, learning about wisdom and how important that wisdom is and how it is the principal thing and how that is the most important thing in life is getting wisdom. It's not getting riches. It's not getting all of these physical things that we so desire and we so want. The most important thing is getting wisdom. And that's what the whole book is about. But then you end up the whole book right here, and it is a mother talking to a king saying, don't give away your wisdom and your strength. Don't do it. She didn't want Lemuel to lay aside his wisdom and godly principles in order to indulge in immorality. Each and every one of us are going to have that temptation to indulge in immorality, in drinking, in things that will pleasure your flesh. I see three things in this passage that we must give away. The first thing that we must give away is pride. We must give away pride. And you say, why do you keep bringing up pride? Because pride is our basic problem in the human heart. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, you have a problem, and I have a problem with pride. What did the king have to do? He had to set aside his pride and listen to his mother. He could have said, hey, now wait a second. I'm the king. I make decisions. I make judgments. I make laws. I say what goes and what doesn't go, and I've got to stop and talk to my mother for advice? Hey, he had to set aside his pride for that. He had to set aside his self-righteousness for that and say, hey, I better listen to my mother. I better listen to her. So we end up the book the way that we started. A young man needs wisdom. Hey, the old man needs wisdom too. The king needs wisdom too. Where? From his mother and from his father. It says in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. God is not going to grace you and I with wisdom if we approach Him in pride. We have to approach the Word of God in humility. We have to approach God in humility whenever we go to Him and pray and all these different things. The Bible says in James 4:6, but He giveth more grace. He gives more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Each and every one of us are going to have to put away our pride. Now you know what the most threatening thing is for Christianity today? It's not atheism. That's not the most important or greatest threat for Christianity today. That's not it. Now I think that we ought to refute atheism with all of our heart, all of our soul. It's not evolution. Evolution is not the greatest threat to Christianity today. That's not it. Now we ought to go against evolution. I believe that. We ought to preach against it. Hey, the greatest threat against Christianity today is not Catholicism. That's not it. Sure isn't. Now I think we ought to refute Catholicism. Hey, that's a wicked system of worship right there. But that's not the greatest threat against Christianity today. None whatsoever. It's not the Muslim religion. Now, the Muslim religion is a wicked, wicked religion. But that's not it. You know what the greatest threat to Christianity today is? It's pride. It's pride that resides down in my heart and in your heart. It's way down deep inside. Because we start trusting in our own righteousness. We start trusting in our own works. We start trusting in all of these different things, and we become proud and self-righteous. And we think, hey, I don't need God anymore. I don't need to go down and hear some preaching anymore. I don't need to listen to what that preacher has to say. You know what that is? That's pride. You start trusting in the fact that, I do all of these different things and therefore I am righteous. Hey, I've got my morning devotions down. I've got this and I got all the boxes checked and I did all this stuff. Man, I'm self-righteous. That's pride. That's pride. You don't get your righteousness from doing all those things. All those things are necessary. And we ought to be doing those things. We ought to be doing devotions. But hey, don't get puffed up with pride. That's where it comes from. You put all of your faith and all of your trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone for your righteousness. Because pride is the main problem in your heart this evening. And it's the main problem in my heart this evening. If we are going to be destroyed as Christians, it's going to come from within and not from without. That's what's happening to America today. We're being destroyed from within, not from without. You see all of these schisms and all of these things inside of the United States of America. You know what? It's not coming from North Korea. That's not our biggest threat. It's not coming from the Arab nations over there. That's not our biggest threat. It's coming from within. All these kind of murmurings and things going on and football players kneeling down at football games because they don't want to show patriotism and all this stuff. It's becoming divided. Divided. That's the way it is with us. Your heart can become divided. Your heart can become self-righteous and proud and all of these things. You must trust Jesus Christ. Don't let that pride destroy you. Same way with Solomon here, if this is Solomon. He had to put that pride aside and he had to listen to his mother. Who knows how old she was. We can become a church that thinks they don't need repentance. We don't need wisdom. We don't need love. We don't need instruction because we all got it all down. I mean, hey, I've been doing everything and I'm all right. No, you're not all right. The Christian life is going to be a life characterized by repentance, daily repentance because we are all sinners. Hey, let me tell you something, man. I don't have it all figured out. And you don't either. You got to repent every day because we are sinners. And I tell you what, you know, we have the love of God and we have the grace of God and we have the mercy of God and we have all those things. And thank God that we do. But we got pride too. And we got sin that resides on the inside of us. And we can't walk around thinking, hey, I'm okay. I'm all right. No, we got to trust Jesus Christ. We got to trust in His righteousness. It doesn't matter how many chapters we read in the Bible every day or if we're coming here three times, four times a week. Bless God, I hope you do. But don't let that be your righteousness. Don't let that be something that you're trusting in, that, hey, I'm okay. I'm okay. See, that pride will reside right in there. I was going to read you a quote by Abraham Lincoln, what he said about what would destroy America. He said, America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. And that's what's going to happen to the United States of America. Amen. It's not going to be an invasion from the Japanese. It will be right here from the inside. Right here from the inside. Amen. What did the mule have to do? He had to go back to the feet of his mother and listen to her advice. Now, he was a young boy at one time, and she used to feed him with a bottle or spoon feed him with a Gerber baby food. Of course, they didn't have that back in then, but man, she used to take care of old Lemuel or Solomon. She had to take care of him. You know what he had to do? He had to go back to the beginning. He had to go back to mama. He had to go back to some advice from his mother. You know what sometimes Christians just need to do? They just need to go back to the beginning. Back when you got saved and everything was brand new, and man, you loved the Word of God and you loved the preaching of the Word of God. Man, you had to pray because you were so fragile and you just knew that, man, I'm going to fall apart if I don't have Jesus Christ. But then you grow a little bit and you get a little bit more mature and you get a little bit hardened and you think, man, I don't need that anymore. I don't need to read the Bible and pray and all these things. You know what? Got to go back to the beginning, just like Lemuel did. Got to go back to the beginning. What did Jesus Christ say whenever he wrote to some of those churches in Revelation? He said, you've left your first love. Go back and do the first works. Get rid of the pride. None of us are big enough or strong enough that we don't need repentance every day. So we got to get rid of that pride. The next thing that Solomon needs to get rid of, and we also do too, is we need to give away all that lust for self-indulgence. The lust for self-indulgence. She tells him in verse number 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes to drink strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the law of any of the afflicted. She said, hey, Solomon, I see that you might be messing around with wine a little bit. Are you starting to drink a little bit? Hey, it's not for you to go around messing with wine and messing with alcohol. Leave it alone. Same way with Christians. Hey, it's not for us to go around messing with wine and alcohol. Amen. Why? Because it'll make you do things that you should not do. It'll make you say things that you should not say. It'll make you think things that you should not think. That's why you shouldn't mess around with wine. Now, she listed two indulgences there. The first one was women, and the second one was alcohol. Now, if she's talking to Solomon, she has every right in the world to say something to Solomon, because Solomon had a problem with women. And it was bringing him down, and it brought down his whole entire kingdom because he started messing around with women. With women. Now, the Bible tells us that he had 1,000 wives. Now, brothers and sisters, that's indulging just a little bit too much, don't you think? You only need one woman. You don't need 1,000 women. Now, if you have 1,000 women that have 1,000 opinions, how in the world are you going to be able to keep your wisdom and your strength for any amount of time? You can't. Because he was collecting women from all over these different nations, bringing them in, and they worship separate gods and different gods, and they're saying, hey, Solomon, why don't you build me a temple for this god? And hey, Solomon, why don't you build me a temple for this god? And he said, okay. And he left all of his biblical principles that he had once learned, and he threw his wisdom out the window because of women, is what he did. Let me encourage you, men and women here today. Only have one woman and only have one man. Amen. That's all you need. Just because you're a man doesn't mean you need to go around and sleep around and have a bunch of women around you. Now, our society likes to measure masculinity by how many women that they can get. You know what I'm saying? That's how they like to measure those kinds of things. But that's not God's plan. That's not God's design. If you want to be an honorable man, get you one woman and take care of her forever. That's what you need to do. You don't need a bunch of women. I mean, I tell you what, young men, you're not missing out on anything if you go around doing those kinds of things. You're not missing out on anything. But man, I've got to go out and I've got to sow my wild oats. I've got to get drunk. I've got to get all these things. No, you don't. You're only sowing seeds that are going to come back to you and haunt you for the rest of your life. Amen. What you're going to do. You don't need to drink. You don't need any alcohol. And you don't need a bunch of women. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 5, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. That's what he says. Two indulgences for men, and could be for ladies too, but I bet it's more so for men. Women and alcohol. Women and alcohol. God made rules for the king whenever Israel was to have a king, and he gave specific rules in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 16 to 20. I'll read it for you. A king was not supposed to multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, you shall not henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives unto himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply unto himself silver and gold. Well, Solomon was doing all those things, multiplying wives, got all kinds of gold and all these different things. What did he do? Well, I tell you what, Solomon just got a little bit too puffed up, I do believe. I've heard a saying before that says, power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's what happened to Solomon. Boy, he had every power that he could think of. Nobody could tell him what to do. Nobody was watching him. Nobody could do anything to him. And so he did exactly what he wanted to, and it destroyed him. Amen. Got to stay away from alcohol and from multiplying wives. Can't do those things. Our society applauds and exonerates promiscuity and sexual immorality. But let me tell you something this evening. God is disgusted by those things. Amen. He doesn't like it. He's not looking down and smiling, saying, aha, see what these folks are doing? No, sir. No, ma'am, he is not. He is not. Now, I know that we live in a fallen world. I know that we are sinful, and we have a cross that we can go to. Things happen, and we do these kinds of things, but God forgives if we miss the mark. But I tell you what, his mother is talking to him proactively. She's saying, don't do those things. She's being preventative about what she's saying to him. Stop before you do those things. Don't do it. Don't do it. So we must give up our lust for self-indulgence, our lust for self-indulgence. The Christian does not need alcohol for happiness. We do not need alcohol for enjoyment. What do we got? The Bible says that we got the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Hey, we got a home in heaven. We're going to get a new body one of these days. We don't need alcohol to have a good time. We can have fun and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, we don't need all of those things. Peter tells us that we should abstain from fleshly lust, which war against our souls. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse number 11. So she says, hey, don't give away all that you have to fleshly desires and indulgences. Just because you can, don't do it. Don't do that, Solomon. She says, instead, you know what you ought to do? Give your strength to those who need it. Give it away to others. What has God given to us? I mean, God has given us wisdom. He's given us understanding of the Scriptures. He has given us the gospel. What should we do with those things? Give them out. I mean, there's Solomon. He can do all the good in the world. I mean, he can make laws. He can help those who are needy and those who are downtrodden. His mother says, hey, go and give the strength that you have to other people. Give it to people who need it. Do you know what? We have some strength that we can give to others. We have the Holy Ghost residing on the inside of us. We have the gospel. I tell you what, I bet you each and every one of you have been through situations in your life that will be a benefit to other people that nobody else has been through, and only you can help that person. Only you have been through those things, and you can help those people, help them and console them in something that they need. You can help them in those things. Solomon had been given power and authority and all of these things. So we must be diligent to help those in needs and give away our strength to others and strengthen their lives in exchange. You know who needs our strength? Our neighbors need our strength. Your children need your strength. Your wife, your husband needs your strength. We feed off of one another. Church members, we need each other. I need you, and you need me as a family, as a unit, as a community here in Grace Fellowship Baptist Church. We need each other. We need to strengthen each other. And so that's why we come together. We come together to fellowship and to be with one another, not only to worship the Lord, but hey, to gather together and just feed off of one another. So the last thing I'd like to ask you is, how is your generosity in these areas? Are you holding on to pride? Keeping a little bit in the corner of your heart and saying, hey, wait a second, I'm going to keep some of that. How about some self-indulgence? I believe that I will keep a little bit. I'm going to indulge here and there, and I'm just going to keep those things. Are you generous about getting rid of those things? You don't need it. You don't need pride, and you don't need self-indulgence. Do you keep some of your strength to yourself? You know that someone's in need. You know that someone needs some help, and you don't help them. Give away that strength to others. Give it to them. Give it to them. You say, what if I give away all those things? What if I give away my pride? What if I give away my self-indulgence? What if I give away my strength to others? You know what? God's got all that figured out. He's going to replenish those things. I mean, you give away your pride, you know what God does? He gives you hope in Jesus Christ. You give away your self-indulgence, what does it give you? Satisfaction in another way. You give away your strength, and what does He give you? He gives you purpose. Gives you purpose. That's our purpose here in this life. Our purpose here in this life is to serve and honor and love our Creator, but also our fellow man, also the people that we are surrounded with. We give those things, hey, you're not going to have an empty hole in your heart. God's going to fill it. Jesus Christ is going to fill it, and He'll take care of us. So are you giving things away? You know, I'll close with this. There's a show on TV. It's called Hoarders. You know, you guys know the show I'm talking about. Those people can't let go of anything. I mean, I'm not even trash. They're hanging on to trash. They've got their whole house filled with trash and all kinds of stuff. Did you know what? They have lived their whole life and they have not learned how to get rid of anything. They're living in filth and toxicity. You know what happens to a person when they can't get let go of nothing? And they keep it all to themselves, they keep it all bunched up in there, you know what happens? Toxic. It's toxic. Got to keep things flowing. Keep giving. You know what happens at the end of that show? They got to have an intervention. Somebody's got to come in and stop the whole thing and say, hey, you're fixing to die if you don't do that, if you don't stop doing that. You better get rid of some of those things. You know what happens when we start building up all those things? God steps in. He has an intervention. Hey, you need to start getting rid of some of that stuff, giving it out, getting rid of it, giving it away. We don't have a toxic lives. We don't have all that buildup in our lives. Start letting the things flow. Same way with our finances. Start giving those things away. Giving to the church. Giving to those in need. We don't want to be like the hoarders. You know, we don't want to be that way. We want to give cheerfully, as the Bible says. Cheerfully. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,